Hi, this is Steve Chipman. Today I am joined by Darren Reif, Practice Manager for CRM Switch. Greetings, Darren.
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Going well. So today we're going to discuss the planning and selection process for CRM marketing automation and related applications. So Darren, let me start with a general question. What should people be doing that they're not currently doing to determine what's the best CRM system or marketing automation system for their business?
Well, Steve, I'd say it's more of what they shouldn't do, which is run out and do a demonstration. We really propose that people shift their approach from a product evaluation to more of a solution evaluation, where focusing on the process of the business and what the needs are to facilitate those processes are really taking the forefront. So rather than gathering a team together, which is expensive for many organizations, and doing a canned demonstration where you're likely not going to see what it is that you really need to see to make an evaluation, that instead, stepping back and defining what it is that we need and the processes that we need to support, at the same time, maybe cultivating a pride of authorship amongst the team from management on down, and then aligning all the departments and all the levels of management as to what's a successful CRM or marketing automation solution would do for the organization. That would be my recommendation.
So in order to avoid getting into that canned demonstration trap, what are the steps you take to ensure that the process is more disciplined and that people see demonstrations that are more specific to their business needs and not sort of a generalized representation of the application or applications?
Sure. So over the years, we've honed our process down to a 7-step process. It starts with discovery, which is really about interviewing the different folks in the organization, as I said, from the top down to really understand the pains, the challenges, their hopes and their dreams about CRM or marketing automation and what it's going to do for them. The next phase is memorializing those requirements. And that's usually done in maybe a PowerPoint presentation or something that can be a work product that leads to the third step, which is a workshop. And I like to tell people the workshop is a bit of a cage match where we get the stakeholders together and we don't leave the room until we've validated, prioritized, and actually built a consensus about what is in scope, what is out of scope, what the priorities are with regard to our needs. Fourth, we'll establish a scoring methodology, and that might be a scorecard or it might be a proof of concept. It depends really on the outcome of the workshop as to what the scoring methodology is going to be, so we can all be evaluating the solutions using the same process. And then we'll do tailor demonstrations. And tailor demonstrations are really where we'll sit down at CRM Switch with the sales engineer and account engineer for the different vendors, and we'll take them through the workshop, which has all of our requirements. We'll take them through the scoring methodology, if that's a scorecard. And they'll understand what they need to be doing as far as arranging and tailoring their demonstrations in order to get the best score, if you will, or the most favorable response from us. That will ensure that they're showing what we need to see rather than, you know, the latest, brightest, shiniest object that they're marketing. So step 6 and 7, six is a findings and recommendations report. And that's something that can be handed to a board or an executive committee that includes our findings, our recommendations, the solutions to the potential, to the pains that we've seen. And then lastly, the negotiation and procurement, where we don't do the negotiation, but we help you through that process, giving some tips and tricks about how to get the most out of your purchase.
And as defined by their roles, who are the people you normally work with within an organization? I know it can vary from organization to organization, but who are the typical levels of people or job positions that you tend to work with on these engagements?
Well, I usually look at an organization in terms of maybe 5 personas, if you will. The first being the keepers of the tribal knowledge. Those are the folks that in the organization that really are the masters of the undocumented. They they know where the bodies are buried. They know how things are done, even if it's not written down somewhere. So they're important to talk to. The lifers are another group. Those are the folks that have been in the organization for a long, long time. And they maybe worked in multiple departments, or they've worked their way up in the organization. So they really have a multidisciplinary view of the organization. Also, we have what we call the hard cases. Those are the folks that, you know, may be reticent to make a change as far as how they do their business. Maybe they're fearful of change. So we need to talk to them. We need to understand, you know, why they're concerned or what their fears are. And we need to get those on the table and make them part of the process. We have the suffering, which is one of the last groups, which is the folks that are really feeling the pain and the ones that are probably driving this process because they really require change to be able to move the organization in the direction that they think it should go. And then, of course, last, we have the money bags, which are those who hold the purse strings, the CFO, the CEO, or an EVP. And they need their voice needs to be heard, obviously, and they need to be part of this process because in the end, they need to make a financial decision, about whether this is the right thing for the organization and if there's going to be a return on the investment.
Does it matter what industry you're in or whether you're for-profit or non-profit for the process that you've described to work?
As far as industry, it really doesn't matter. As I mentioned, we take more of a process-centric approach, and it tends to always boil down to sales or service or communication. So it really doesn't, it's not really dependent on the industry. I can just say we've used the same approach, the 7-step approach that we use with insurance companies, folks in the financial services sector, manufacturing, software, media. I mean, the list goes on. So we feel pretty confident that process is ubiquitous. I will say that there are some really great vertically oriented applications out there for specific industries, and we don't know them all. We do run across them, but it is our job to keep up to speed as they continue to pop up because sometimes that's the right solution.
And what would you say are some of the advantages of using a third party to go through the process you've described rather than trying to take care of things internally?
Well, the obvious advantage is that we've done it before. So that, you know, the discovery process is certainly going to be improved as we understand and we know how and what questions to ask to get to the heart of the matter and what the real issues are or what the real objective is. We also are pretty good at exposing opportunities for improvement and strategic advantage, which is really where we're going to get the ROI. And, you know, we can many times reveal pains and risks that should be addressed through the conversations that we're having with folks, because you have to remember that in organizations, many times it's easier for a third party to really get the straight skinny, where staff might be more forthcoming with folks that are not in management or not from IT who may have built the systems that they're looking to replace. So I'd say discovery, improved discovery is a big one. And project acceleration is probably another big one. Usually folks that contact us, you know, are somebody from IT or sales or marketing who is sort of either taken the torch or been handed the torch to initiate change. And they have full-time jobs. I mean, they have a lot to do. You know, selecting a CRM or a marketing automation system is not in their job description. There's no time allocated for it. So they do the best they can. But that typically results in this process taking an elongated period of time. So when we get involved, we energize the process. We drive the project forward by pushing and pulling as necessary to deliver an end result.
Now, some of our listeners' minds might be jumping to cost. What would something like this cost? But without blurting out a number, what are the parameters you use to estimate what the scope of an engagement like this is going to be for an end customer?
Well, we first will have a discovery call. It doesn't cost the customer anything, just to understand whether we're talking about a CRM engagement or a marketing automation engagement or both, or maybe something that's grander than the two. So that's one piece. The number of stakeholders that need to be interviewed and sort of wrestled to the ground to get their requirements out of them, that certainly has an impact. And then lastly, the number of systems that are customer-centric that may need to be integrated or may need to feed or be fed by these other systems is sort of the final component.
And you mentioned earlier a couple of the deliverables from this engagement. Is the client able to use the deliverables as a foundation for what will hopefully be an eventual implementation of a CRM and or a marketing automation system?
Oh, sure. The output of the workshop where we've validated, prioritized the high-level business requirements is a CRM blueprint of sorts. I mean, it includes the customer touch points. It includes the integration priorities. It includes, you know, the some of the decisions that had to be made at that point for selection purposes that will drive how the CRM or marketing automation tool will be implemented. So that with the findings and recommendations document, which includes the pains that have been identified and possible solutions, those two are great tools for the implementation team when they get to implementation, because they don't have to go do all that groundwork. It's already been done and it's already been agreed to. So they can just, you know, kick off the implementation without looking back.
And so the final question is, once a decision has been made on a system or systems, what happens next? What's the next step?
Well, that really has to do with the solution that's chosen. Now, when we enter an engagement, there's no predisposition to what the right tool is, the right solution. So we go through the process. We end up with the best solution for the client. And at that point, we have a network of trusted partners that we can recommend for all the major solutions. So we can help through that process. And if our client doesn't have an internal project manager, we can continue on in that capacity to ensure that the client, you know, actually does get married and is not just left at the altar, as they say.
Great. Thank you very much for your time, Darren. And if people want more information, they can go to crmswitch.com, right?
Correct. Thanks for having me, Steve.
My pleasure. Take care, Darren.